I was preparing and as I was looking and checking some things online, I found other people saying, yeah, the Sunday after Christmas, what do you do? How do you do it? It's still the Christmas season, but Christmas proper is over, but it's still the Christmas season, but it's the end of the year, and it's also, we're looking at the new year, and so what do we do? Which direction do we move? And so I was praying about it as I was looking at it this week and preparing, but I also knew it had been a really, probably for you as well, it has been a really busy week, and if you just let you know, I haven't opened my Christmas presents yet. I will do that tonight. When I go back, I'm going to settle in and kick off my shoes and put my feet up, and I'm going to take a few days off this upcoming week. But I'm going to open Christmas presents tonight. But it's been a really busy time. But the Lord does have a word for us nevertheless. And this morning we're going to turn to the part of the story of Christmas that takes place 8 days after Jesus is born. And this is found in Luke chapter 2. This morning, when Steve read the scriptures at the beginning of the service, he read some of these scriptures, and he read about Simeon this morning, and we're going to be looking at two people who are part of the Christmas story that we don't usually give as much attention to. We give more attention to the shepherds, we give more attention to the wise men, to the angels, and a lot of times we don't give as much attention to these two characters who are part of the Christmas story, Simeon and Anna. And so we're going to look this morning at Simeon and Anna and what they have to say to us this morning as we're still celebrating Christmas, but also as we come to the end of this year 2020 and as we begin to look ahead at 2021. And you may not even have thought about 2021 yet, except to hope that this upcoming year will be better than the year that has passed, because it's been a bit of a tough year, hasn't it? And I believe that Simeon and Anna have something to say to us this morning. And we're going to look at these two characters. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you have a print Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. And you can also, if you can find it, look to Habakkuk chapter 3. These are the only two passages that we are going to be focusing on this morning. Habakkuk is right near the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi. So right there, fourth from the last book of the Old Testament. So in these two places, and we're going to focus on Simeon and Anna this morning. Both of them, as far as we know that one of them for sure is very old. The other one, when we read what Luke writes, we assume that this other one is also old. And we'll look at that this morning. Because when we look at Simeon, he says he's ready for death. And Anna, the Bible says, is very old. Luke writes that inspired by the Holy Spirit. So these two people that we assume are old or very old. Anna was either 84 or she was 100 plus, depending on how you count it out. And some of you might say 100 plus. Well, 100 plus is very old, isn't it? But even 84 in those days would have been considered very, very old. And as I was thinking about that, as we're going to look at Simeon and Anna this morning, we consider them minor characters in the story of Christmas, usually. And I was thinking about elderly people in our society, and I don't know about your culture, but most of the time, the very elderly don't get a lot of attention anymore, do they? They're old. They've lived their lives. They've said what they had to say. Their time is past. They have, to put it cruelly or bluntly, they've outlived their usefulness. It's okay. And that's how our culture tends to think of elderly people, unless you live in Hong Kong or Macau and you are Lee Ga Sing or Stanley Ho. And then what you have to say is very important, right? As we think about them. But the Bible is going to highlight these two characters. Luke highlights these two characters inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it takes place, as I said, 8 days after Jesus is born. Joseph and Mary, who are under the law, just as Jesus is under the law, on the eighth day, they take Jesus to the temple. He is circumcised, and then he is officially given the name Jesus. Now, he was given that name before he was born even, before even he was, even before he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, it was announced his name would be Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And but they do it officially, and on the eighth day, as was the Jewish custom, he is given his name, Jesus. And so they take him to the temple, and at the same time they take an offering to the temple along with Jesus, and the firstborn son is dedicated to the Lord. There's so much symbolism there for us as this infant child is taken to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord, and we know that he was dedicated to the Lord. Mary and Joseph take an offering required by the law, and they take two birds, which tells us that they didn't have a lot of money, because the required offering was a bird and a lamb, and that was what was given as an offering when the firstborn son was dedicated to God. And if you didn't have enough money for a lamb, then you took two birds instead. And that's what Mary and Joseph did. And so we turn to Luke 2, and we're going to read it, and we're just going to read the whole story first, and you'll see I've just titled this Simeon and Anna, Faith for a Lifetime and Hope for Hard Times. And already that speaks to us as we think back to this tough year that has been and to the year that that is yet ahead of us. So we turn and we look at Luke chapter 2, and let's just read through the story, and then we're going to come back and look at it. So you can follow along here on the screen or in your own Bibles. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. As we look at that, hear the words of Simeon, and I want you to think about this. We'll look in just a minute. Simeon is not even called a prophet. I'm going to ask you some questions in just a minute about Simeon. But as we've just seen, Simeon is not called a prophet. Simeon is not even a priest, as Zechariah was, as we read, as we looked at earlier, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who would be the one to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. So Simeon is not even a priest. He's a layman. And yet, as we just read, that the Holy Spirit speaks to him, the Holy Spirit leads him, and the Holy Spirit is on him. And we'll look at that more in just a minute. And then he gives these words of promise. And we see, and I just want to, just a thought, because we'll keep on going this morning. I want to encourage you. I want you to see both of these things this morning. Simeon blesses the parents. He blesses Joseph and Mary. And yet, even in the blessing, he says to Mary, he turns to her, and he says very specifically, and a sword will pierce your heart as well. And the word sword there wasn't just a little dagger, but it meant a broad sword that would cause deep pain. And I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, there are times when we walk with the Lord and we go through, there are times of great blessing. And there are those who will tell you that if pain comes into your life and hard times come into your life, that something must be wrong, that you must be outside of the will of the Lord, that the devil is winning the victory, or these other things, or you must have sin in your life, or something is going on, or something is wrong. And I want you to see that here, the mother of Jesus, who is devoted to the Lord and who has given her life and her body and her reputation and everything she is into the hands of the Lord, in the blessing, yet there will be great pain as well. So I just want to encourage you this morning as we go through these days when these things come into our lives. The Lord God is still with us, and he will take us through, and he will see us through. And so Simeon does his part, and he lifts. I wonder what the parents were thinking. At Lighthouse, you know, Lighthouse in the past, we don't have as many babies now, but Lighthouse, especially when we had more babies in the past, Lighthouse is really a baby-friendly church. We love babies. And so many people, when new babies would come into the church, those of you who were mothers, we have some this morning. How many of you, you would walk in the door and pretty much you just handed your child over once you walked in the door at Lighthouse, and your child was loved on and cared for, and if the child grew restive, he was patted and loved, and you knew, okay, I can trust my child. Imagine how it must have been for Joseph and Mary as they come into the temple. Here is this probably elderly man who comes up to them and takes this infant into his arms and begins to pray. I wonder if it gave them pause. I think it must have. But very soon and very clearly they realized this is a man who's been sent from God. And so we see that. And that's the background that we see this morning just on the screen. So that's Simeon. But Simeon's not the only one. Let's keep on reading. There's some other, okay? And then we come to Anna. Interestingly, Anna is called a prophet. Simeon is not, but Anna is. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Okay, this one we know is old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she had lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. When it says she never left the temple, scholars are divided. Does this mean that she had a room in the temple? It was possible that she did have a room in the temple and she stayed there. Or it may have been an expression of exaggeration that meant, I spend all my time at the temple. That's what it might have meant also. And so she is there, and she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. And she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Amen. So here we have these two characters, Simeon and Anna. Who gets the larger part? Just from looking at what we just read, who gets the lion's share of this story? Simeon does, right? Simeon has 10 verses devoted to him. Anna has only 3. Who gets the speaking part? Simeon. He gets the direct speech of Anna. It is only said she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone. She doesn't even get a speaking role. But instead, unlike Simeon, we find out all these details about Anna that we don't about Simeon, right? So we're going to look at that this morning. Why are these two described in this way? They seem very different. And nevertheless, as we're going to see this morning, these two characters are complementary in this Christmas story of Jesus. Both of these old saints of the Christmas story have something to say to us today as well. So we're going to begin with Simeon this morning. We say Simeon, another name for him would have been Simon. It's a variant of Simeon. We remember Simon Peter. And so what don't we know about Simeon? What don't we know? I'm asking it backwards. We don't know his age, but we guess that he's not a young one. We don't know his tribe. We don't know his work. We don't know his family. These are all things we do not know about Simeon. What do we know about Simeon? What we do know is that he lived in Jerusalem. What we do know is that he was righteous and he was devout. And what we do know, look with me, is it says he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. What we can say about Simeon is this. He had an active faith and a living hope. That was part of his life, wasn't it? That's what we see very, very clearly about Simeon. And we don't know his age, as we said, but the way that Luke writes about it suggests that Simeon was not a young man. It suggests that Simeon most likely was an older man. And we say that because the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And the way that it's written makes us think, we're speculating here, but it makes us think that at some time earlier in his life, the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and had let him know, you're going to see the Messiah at some point in your life. You won't die until then. So that makes us think that he was younger when the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, and now he has been waiting. He has been, as it says, eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. And I want us to think about that, because when we think about Simeon, he is most likely an older man. Most likely time has passed from the way it has written. And yet, what does it say about what his heart is? What does it say about his hope? What does it say about his expectation? It says that he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. So I have a question for you this morning, because we're not just looking back in time. We're looking at God's word for what he says to you and to me this morning. And so I want to ask you something this morning. At some time in your life, has God, the Holy Spirit, spoken something to your heart? Has he put a hope in your heart? Has he put an expectation in your heart about your life, about your family, about his purpose for you, about his plans for you, about something he's going to do, and it has not yet been fulfilled? I hope all of us will say that. All of us should be able to say that, because our God is a speaking God. And if we have no expectation, and if we have little hope in our hearts about something personal directed to us from the Lord, then we need to get with God and spend time with the Holy Spirit and in his word, so that he speaks to us again personally and individually, not just, oh, the word of God says, but the word of God says to you. And if this is an area that has been silent in your life, I urge you in this new year, as you leave 2021 and as you leave 2020 and as you move into 2021, that you get together with God and let him speak to you again. And have that in your heart, because God speaks to us and puts hope in our hearts that we might have faith and we might have strength to walk the walk that he's called us to walk. If we don't have that, the road gets long and the road gets hard. But we see Simeon this morning, and this is what Simeon says to us. This is what Simeon speaks to our hearts this morning. Here we see this man who at some time in his life has received a promise, an expectation from the Lord that has not yet been fulfilled. And he has not grown discouraged, and it has not died in his heart. He has not put it on the back burner saying, well, I guess God in his time will do it. Have you ever done that? You've gotten tired of waiting for the Lord, and then you kind of, I'm sorry to say it, but we kind of give up in faith, and we say, well, and we give very spiritual comments and say, well, it's in God's hands. Have you ever prayed that? Of course, we've prayed that. It is in God's hands, and that is true. But brothers and sisters, God wants us to have within our hearts a living hope, an eager expectation. So here's Simeon, and what does it say about him? He was eagerly waiting for the Messiah. He was eagerly waiting. It had not become dimmed through time. It had not become dull because it had not yet been fulfilled. But it was something in his heart and something in his life that kept him alive. It kept him going. And it was an eager expectation. It was an eager expectation. It says also that he was devout and that he was righteous. I wonder what was going on in his heart and his life as we look at this story of Simeon. I wonder what his prayer was. Oh God, when will you fulfill your promise? Oh Lord, when will your salvation come to your people? The cruel Romans imposed their will on us. An even more cruel and an even more immoral Herod sits on a throne. He sits on David's throne. He's not even a Jew. He was not even supposed to be on the throne. That's why Herod was so threatened when the wise men came and said, where is he who has been born King of the Jews. We've seen his star in the east. Herod knew, I'm not King of the Jews. He knew that the one that had come would be a real threat to his throne. That was the real king. Herod wasn't even the real king. Herod was so wicked that he had killed his first wife out of paranoia. Then he killed his second wife and his son. Let's see, I wrote it down to try to remember. He killed not his son. He killed three sons. He killed his mother-in-law. And then sometime, as we know, he killed the infants that were born in that two-year period in the hopes of killing the one who has been born King of the Jews. A wicked man. A wicked, wicked, scheming, conniving man. And terribly immoral. He was so hard-hearted. He knew that he was hated by the people. When he knew he was going to die, he left a command in the days before his death. He left a command that his soldiers would round up the leading Jews of the city of Jerusalem and put them to death upon his death, so that there would be mourning in the city upon his death. That's how wicked he was. That's how wicked. And fortunately, he was overridden, and those who came into power afterwards did not do that. But a wicked, wicked man. Can you imagine? Here's Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and that's what is surrounding him. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the world around you? Imagine how Simeon felt. He's righteous and devout, and yet when he goes to the temple, as a righteous and a devout man, upon whom is the Holy Spirit, he had to see, he had to know, he had to sense the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and their followers who made such an outward show of righteousness and who inwardly were so full of emptiness and death and sin. And yet the Bible says he had an eager expectation. And yet the Bible says that he was righteous and devout. And yet the Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you know, and you may not have thought about this before, that in the New Testament, the first person of whom it is said the Holy Spirit was upon him is Simeon. Did you know that? Have you thought about that before? Now, some of us might say, yeah, but, you know, the Holy Spirit was upon and Zechariah and Joseph and... No, go back and read it. Go back and read it. You will see that these others, the Holy Spirit came to them and inspired them, and they were full of the Holy Spirit at that moment for the word of the Lord. But Simeon's description is different than the others. It's hard even for us to understand. We have here a man who was so righteous and so devout. This was before the giving of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, when he would live in us. Praise the Lord. We have that joy this morning. But here is someone for the first time since the early days of the prophets in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit was upon them and came upon them, we have someone upon whom the Holy Spirit dwells and lives in a special way. And so we see this beautiful picture of Simeon this morning. And as we look at this, so here is Simeon against all odds, against all circumstances, against all appearance, against everything around him. He is righteous and devout and has an eager expectation and hope. And then that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. Do you know what that is? Do you know how it is written very literally? Very literally, it is said, in the Spirit he came into the temple. That's the literal. That's the literal translation of that. In the Spirit he came into the temple. Imagine, did the Holy Spirit say, Simeon? I love thinking about that. I really get excited. Simeon, today's the day. Today's the day. It may have been. We don't know. The Bible's not clear. Luke doesn't write it clearly. Or was it just the movement of the Holy Spirit? Go to the temple, Simeon. Go to the temple. And as he walked into the temple, there are Mary and Joseph. This young couple, or at least Mary was young. Joseph may have been older, with this little baby. And all of the noise, and everything that was going on, and all of the busyness. How many of you, at times, in all of the busyness, you lose sight of Jesus? You stop hearing his voice. And instead, Everything just comes in like a flood. I battle that too, especially at times like this at Christmas time. And yet here's Simeon, because the Holy Spirit is upon him and he has this relationship with the Lord as he comes into the temple. It's not quiet in the temple. It's loud. It's busy. Many people going in and out. People bringing lambs in for sacrifice. The lambs probably bad and making noise, not wanting to be taken in. The smell of blood in the air, because sacrifices were being offered in the temple. The Pharisees there making their prayers. The temple offering boxes and people putting their offerings in. All of these things that were going on. All of these things that could have distracted him from the coming of the Messiah. And yet, because the Holy Spirit was upon him, Simeon had a heart, and Simeon had a spirit, and Simeon had eyes to see the Messiah, the Messiah. Oh, beloved, in our busyness, in all the work that we must do, may we be led by the Holy Spirit. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit to see the Messiah in everything, in the midst of everything. That's my prayer. It's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for you. Do you know that's one of the things, as your pastor, that I have been praying for you? Maybe I need to pray harder. That I've been praying for you through this Christmas time, that the Prince of Peace would reign in your heart, and that you would see him again, that he would whisper to your heart, and it wouldn't be busy, 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 but you would have eyes to see the coming of the Messiah in the midst of everything, in the midst of everything. And then Simeon takes this baby in his hands. I don't know if he held him to his chest or if he lifted him up to the Lord. I don't know. Maybe both. Maybe both. And what he says speaks to us this morning. I have seen your salvation. First of all, he says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you've promised. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? You know, that is not a morbid prayer. It's not. It sounds a little bit morbid, but it's not morbid. It's not morbid. Lord, let your servant, Sovereign Lord. See, sovereign means he's in charge of everything, right? Sovereign means he's in charge of your life. Sovereign means he knows the beginning of your days and the end of your days and every day in between. Beloved, trust your days, trust your life into the hands of the Sovereign Lord. And then when the time comes, then you and I can say, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. But until that time comes, beloved, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God has hope for you. God has light and life for you. And then when the time is ready, you may depart in peace. I may depart in peace. Or maybe he's going to come back and get us very soon in that home that he's prepared for us. We have this beautiful prayer from Simeon. And then look a little bit further. What does he say? I've seen your salvation. Think with me about this. We're talking about Simeon, who has faith for a lifetime and hope for hard times. Because Simeon is holding a baby. And what does he say as he holds this baby? I have seen your salvation in a baby. He's 8 days old. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't delivered anybody. All he's done is slept and cried and made a mess and fed at his mother's breast. That's all this eight-day-old baby has done. And yet Simeon can say, I have seen your salvation, and not he will be your salvation, but I have seen your salvation, and he is a light to reveal God to the nations or to the Gentiles, and he is the glory of your people Israel. In an eight-day-old boy, those are the eyes of faith. That's why the Bible says he was a devout and righteous man. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It takes the Holy Spirit living in our lives in an active way that we can see a baby and say, I have seen your salvation. He is light and glory. You see, there are things in your life and my life that are in seed form. It's almost nothing. And you think, oh God, when? And God is there in a small seed. God is there in a small way. And though it is small, and though it seems so insignificant, it is the work of God. It's the promise of God. It's the beginning of God. And what God begins, He will complete. Let the Holy Spirit stir up your hearts this morning so that you and I can say, I have seen your salvation. Has it been worked out yet? Maybe not yet. But you can say this morning, I've seen your salvation. It's faith for a lifetime, and it's hope for hard times. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Simeon sees, and he believes. And then we turn to the next one, and we turn to Anna. Anna, who plays seemingly a minor role, she's a minor character. But actually, we know more about Anna than we do about Simeon, as I said. She happens to come up at just the right time, right? Just the right time. God is so good with coincidences, isn't he? If you're a child of God, no coincidences in your life. No coincidences. And so we look at Anna. She was a prophet, and she was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. We've read this already. And so what do we know about Anna? So I asked you about Simeon. We didn't know so much about him. We know more about Anna. Do you know? But here's some things that you may not know. Do you know that Anna in the New Testament is the same name as Hannah in the Old Testament? Did you know that? And it means grace or favor. And here's why it's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit is so great. He's so wonderful. He puts the people in the story together. He inspired Anna's parents to name her Anna. And as we read this, I immediately start thinking of Hannah in the Old Testament, because Hannah also had a miracle son that came from God, the prophet Samuel, who would bring deliverance to the people and would bring God's word to the people and who would draw the people's hearts back to God. That's what Jesus did. And remember that first Hannah? She came to the temple and she brought Samuel and she dedicated him to the Lord. And Samuel remained at the temple and grew up in the fear of the Lord. Me, my heart is moved when I think of that, because that's Jesus. That's Jesus who in himself was the temple, in his own body was the temple, dedicated to the Lord all the days of his life. That's Anna. That's Hannah. And so we know, as we look a little bit further, so her name means favor or grace. She's from the tribe of Asher. And you may have overlooked that before, but do you know what? Asher was one of the tribes that went into Babylonian captivity. And it's one of the tribes that was considered a lost tribe, because few of those tribes came back to Israel after the Babylonian captivity. And yet, God ordained that this family would come back to Israel, that this family would be in Jerusalem, from a tribe considered lost. But she's not lost. And she's there in the temple. And so from the tribe of Asher, her father is Phanuel. Did you know this? Phanuel is also found in the Old Testament. Do you know where Phanuel is found in the Old Testament? We talked about this a few weeks ago from the life of Jacob. And Jacob, one night on his way back to meet his brother Esau, after being apart for 20 years, sends his family across the brook, and in the night, he wrestles with a man, and he realizes it's God. And in the morning, Jacob names the place Peniel or Peniel. It's spelled P-E-N-I-E-L or P-E-N-U-E-L. That's the Old Testament. You know what the New Testament is? Phanuel. Think with me just a minute. You know what the name Phanuel means? It means the same thing in the New Testament that it means in the Old Testament. And it means face of God. Face of God. And in walks Anna. And she sees this little baby. Not coincidence, brothers and sisters. And Anna, whose father was Phanuel, sees in this baby the face of God. The face of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory is of the one and only, full of grace and truth. How wonderful. And God brings these two people together, a man and a woman, both of them elderly. Do you know why God brought two? These two come and they are witnesses. They are witnesses of the coming of the Messiah. Do you know, according to Old Testament law, that for anything to be confirmed, there had to be two reliable witnesses? Did you know that? That's in the Old Testament for something to be verified. And it was even in the New Testament, because remember, they couldn't find witnesses to agree in their story against Jesus when they wanted to crucify him. And finally, they found two to agree. And so God brings together Simeon and Anna, two witnesses for the coming of the Messiah, reliable witnesses, one who is righteous and devout, one who is a prophet and who lives at the temple. What else does it say about her? She was very old. Her husband had died when they had been married only 7 years. At that time, girls would have married when they were anywhere between 13 to 15 or 16. Very, very young. And so Anna had been a widow probably from her early 20s or from around the age of 20. And I want you to think about her as one of the witnesses of Jesus this morning as we look at this story together. Because we looked at Simeon, and we don't know a lot about his life at all. But we know so much more about Anna's life. And Anna's life really speaks to us, because when we look at her life, we see this woman. Imagine she would have been married as a young girl, and then after a very few years, she is widowed. Think with me, if you haven't before, of the heartbreak. Think of the disappointment. She had planned a life together with a man. She had hoped for and looked for a family where she would be a wife and a mother. We don't know for sure, but it is likely she did not have children, because she's in the temple. She is not living in the home of her children, which would have been normal. So though we don't know for sure, it is likely that she had no children. She had no one to care for her. She was on limited physical means. Widows and orphans in Israel, because there was no social care from the government, lived in a very difficult means. They depended on the goodwill of others. That's why God had plenty to say about widows and orphans and taking care of them. And here is Anna. And as we look at her at 84 years of age, imagine her life could have been filled with bitterness and hardness of heart because of the great disappointment, because of what had happened. And let's be honest, sometimes when hard things happen to us, sometimes when bitter things happen to us, sometimes when great disappointment comes into our lives, it can poison our hearts, and our hearts become bitter and hard and complaining against the Lord. And believe you me, if we ever open a door to that, the enemy will be right there to help harden our hearts. The enemy will be right there to say, huh, you think God loves you and God is good? If He loved you, why did He let this happen to you? Anna could have been that way, couldn't she? Couldn't she have been? And you know what? We all also could have been that way. Because every one of us this morning, to varying degrees, our lives, because of sin in this world, our lives have been broken. We have been disappointed. We have been cheated. We have been ill-treated. We have been spoken against unjustly. Things have been done to us that weren't right and that weren't fair. And brothers and sisters, if we're really honest, most of us would also say we have probably at some time in our lives
been that way and done that way towards others just because of who we are and what we are. All of us have this in our lives. And yet, here's what the life of Anna says to us this morning. Instead of developing into a bitter old woman that nobody wanted to be around, she devoted her life instead to the Lord and was in the temple and was there worshiping God with fasting and with prayer. You can't worship God when your heart is hard. You can't worship God when you say, "Oh God, you," and "Oh God, that." Instead, through worship and through prayer, she had a living relationship with God. She had a hope in the Lord. And it is these two people, Simeon and Anna, who, if they looked at what was around them, would have been full of despair and hopelessness. And yet, what does it say? Look with me. As we look at this, here are these two similarities. We'll come back to it in just a minute. I'll come back to it in just a minute. Look with me at Habakkuk. And you're going to wonder, how can we go from Luke chapter 2 to Habakkuk 3? This is hundreds of years before. Here is something that we see about Simeon and Anna this morning. And some of you know this passage very well. I don't know why I know it. I think maybe there was a song about it, but I have it almost memorized. I think probably in the King James, but I love this one. I love this one. Look with me as we look further at Simeon and Anna, because Habakkuk chapter 3 tells us about the life of Simeon and Anna, and it tells us something, and it speaks to our own lives as well. Because here in Simeon and Anna were two people who should have, by all rights, by all means, if they had looked at everything around them, would have been people of doubt and discouragement, who had lost all hope. But we read from the prophet Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet, about how he looks at life. He lived when Israel was full of idolatry and wickedness, and God had revealed to Habakkuk, judgment is coming, and it's coming through the Babylonians. What a blow. What a blow. And look what Habakkuk writes, inspired of the Holy Spirit. And then think of the life of Simeon and Anna this morning. Even though the fig tree does not blossom, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Oh, God, help. What if we stopped there this morning? We'd be so discouraged, wouldn't we? Now, how many of you, stop there just a minute. How many of you would look at this last year, these last 12 months or so, at 2020, and you would say, yep, that kind of describes my life in 2020. Yep. That's the way it's been. I lost my best friend. This person has left. That person has left. There have been changes. I've had to, and when I said I've lost my best friend, please understand, I'm not saying that flippantly. I don't mean it that way. Or you have lost someone through death. You have lost a loved one. And I know, I look back at this year, and it has been a grievous year, hasn't it, the last year or so. So many of us, so many of you in Lighthouse, have said farewell to people that you won't see again until heaven. It's been a tough year. And then 2020 and COVID has hit us as well. And the things that we depended on, that has been broken as well. And there are all these things that we look at. And if we were describing our year and our lives, Habakkuk chapter 3 would describe our year and our lives. But Habakkuk does not stop there. Though these things are like that, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And here is the key for us this morning. I believe this was the key of Simeon's life and Anna's life as well. Their hope was not in the externals, but their hope was in the God who never changes. Their hope was in the one who had spoken a word into their hearts and said to Simeon, you will not die until you see the Lord, until you see the Lord's Messiah, as it is written in Luke chapter 2. I can imagine the years passing, his hair graying, the wrinkles developing. I will not die until I see the Lord's Messiah. Though the fig tree does not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, though the fields don't yield, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I can imagine Anna, can't you? 20 years old. Lord, I devote my life to you. Oh God, what I had counted on, what I had banked on, what I had hoped for, what I imagined my life to be is different, and it will never be the same. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Wonderful. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer, and he enables me to walk on mountain heights. That's a beautiful picture for us, brothers and sisters, isn't it? It really is. It's not just sometimes we just hang on, right? And we just say, oh, God. And I understand that. Sometimes it is that way. But look at this picture. As you rejoice, not in your surroundings, not in what has happened to you, not in the 2020 COVID year, if we want to think about it that way, but as we rejoice in the Lord, his joy will be our strength. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. If we look to our surroundings, if we look to these things around us, we will lose our strength because hard times, all of us, will go through. But Habakkuk says, he is my strength, and he makes my feet like those of a deer. Whenever we look at National Geographic specials, I can't even imagine. We see sheer rock cliffs, seem to be, right? Sheer rock cliffs, and yet those sure-footed goats, they find a foothold, and they find a foothold. And they don't just tiptoe precariously or hang on precariously. They bound, don't they? They leap from one place to another. And that's that picture. Oh, the Holy Spirit inspires Habakkuk. He makes my feet like those of a deer, enables me to walk on mountain heights. That's what the Lord does in hard times, in precarious times. You won't just stand and say, oh God, help me hang on. Sometimes we do that. But God, as you let him, as you keep your eyes on him and rejoice in him, he will give you strength. It comes from him, and you will make progress. You will move forward. You won't just mark time. And so I encourage you this morning, as we come to an end, as we come to an end, and as we think about Simeon and Anna, who spent time with the Lord, who rejoiced in the God of their salvation. Habakkuk chapter 3 speaks of their lives. And God desires that Habakkuk chapter 3 describes our lives as well, not just their lives. I encourage you, get with God. If the hope has died in your heart and it needs to be dusted off, and a fresh wind breathed into it again, go to the Lord. Look to the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And he will make your feet like the feet of the deer to walk upon the high places. Simeon, I will not die until I see the Lord's Messiah. Anna, all her life, worshiping the Lord with fasting and prayer. I wrote it down on a sticky note because I wanted to remember it. It wasn't in my notes. We looked at the similarities between Simeon and Anna, and here's one more. Simeon was eagerly waiting for the Lord to show. And Anna, after she sees Jesus, says that she spoke to all those, to everyone who had been waiting expectantly. That is what God wants of our hearts. And only God can do that. And only time with God can do that. We close in prayer this morning. And I encourage you, here's a direction for you in your prayers. As we close out 2020 and as we look ahead to 2021, get together with God. And you may need to say, Lord, I confess that I was in Habakkuk 3 and I was looking at no olives, no fig trees, no fruit, no grain from the field,
no cattle in the stalls. That's what I was looking at. But Lord, I look beyond that now, and I rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. But God's going to have to do that for us. And so if you need to make an attitude adjustment with the Scripture and with the Holy Spirit, now's the time. Don't go into 2021 with a heavy heart and with sadness. But let the Lord, in your situation, whatever your situation is, speak to you again and put a hope for you in your heart and in your life, a purpose for you in your life this morning. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for Simeon and Anna, those two saints of old who speak to our lives in the year of COVID yet today. May we learn from them. And Holy Spirit, I pray for each one of us. As we spend time in your presence, would you again renew our hope, put strength in our bones, enable us to walk on the high places with sure feet. May we walk into 2021 with expectation, eagerly expecting what you will do in our lives and our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.